if you want to bring your tithes, your offerings, or if you're on this morning and you'd like to sow into the ministry, if you go on to freedomfireministries.com or fathershouse.co.uk, there is at the bottom of the homepage, there is a donate button where you can give into the ministry through that, into the house of the Lord through that. Or we actually personally give through an app called CrossPay, and that little app you can download, and you can give directly. You just go on to CrossPay, open it up, and you scroll down to the ministry you want to give to. And we are Freedom Fire Ministries, and the address for that is Bure Close, so you'll know it's 3 Bure Close. And just go on to the giving, and it just you literally just put in your amount. If you're a gift aid, or take your gift aid, and then just pay into that. It's so fast. We do it now all the time. It's just as money comes in, we tithe it out just immediately. So it's not like a monthly thing. It's just if we get a gift in, we tithe it out. Whatever comes in goes out. So, and it means that we, you know, can keep up our offerings unto the Lord, and we don't have to keep checking and saying, "Oh gosh, have I brought my love offerings to the Lord this month?" And so it's, for us, it's a real easy way to give. So I have really been battling over what to bring this morning, and God just keeps taking me back to Moses, when he went up and down the mountain on behalf of the people, when God called him into his presence, when God called him into the cloud of his glory, and the different aspects of that and what that looked like. And I just want to quickly run through that journey of Moses. Moses was about 80 years old, I think, when he started to climb mountains. So any of you that are under 80 or around 80 years of age, you are still valid for starting to climb mountains. So if that's you, you need to get your shoes on, stop sitting around in your sofas, get out, go walk in, and get yourself strengthened for these days ahead, because God needs everybody in this army of his. So the first visit of Moses with the Lord is where God confirmed Israel again as his son, where God confirmed that adoption of the nation of Israel to himself, where he gathered that the promises that he made to Abraham, that he reconfirmed to Moses. And the people in that, also the people agreed to follow God. I'm just going to, this is like where I'm at today. I'm just like all over the show. So I'm just going to bring what I feel God wants to bring out of it. So I just want to flip back to Exodus 19. If you've got your Bibles there, it's always good to look at it, you know. Exodus 19:5, he said, "If you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." And so Moses came down and he confirmed God's covenant, God's promises, that actually he loves the whole world are his people, but actually he has called unto himself a nation, and that nation was Israel, to be priests and kings and a holy nation. Then on the second visit, when Moses climbed up this mountain at 80 years old in his sandals, the Lord said to him to consecrate the people. So because God was going to come with a visitation, the people had to make themselves clean, to make themselves holy, to purify themselves in preparation for the coming of the presence of God. And in chapter 19, verse 20, they prepared themselves, they washed themselves and prepared themselves, and Moses consecrated them unto the Lord in chapter 19. And then it says, "On the third day, there was a cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Everyone in the camp trembled. Can you imagine if we gathered out in the center of Bournemouth, God said, I want you to gather everyone that belongs to me in the center of Bournemouth or in the center of Belfast or in the middle of London, and I'm going to come and I am going to presence myself with you right there, right at that moment. And what happened was a thick, dark cloud came down over the mountain and loud trumpet blast. Could you imagine if we were all standing there, right, and this cloud just descended, and then out of the cloud came this trumpet blast, this massive, like, echoing blast of a trumpet. Like, wouldn't you just think, oh, my days. You know, I'd be on my face. Honestly, I would be on my face. Everyone in the camp trembled. And Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. In fire. Again, could you imagine the middle of London, God coming down in this fire amongst the people? The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Moses spoke and the voice of God answered him. Come on. We were all standing together and one of you turned around and said, you know, Lord, what are you saying right now? And out of this cloud, out of this fire, out of this trumpet came the voice of God. Can you imagine? Like, it's not just the people of God that would hear it. Like, the whole nation, like around us, all the people around us, don't you think that there would be this mass conversion, mass like repentance, and people falling on their faces before the Lord to come to him because of the might of his presence among us? Don't you? Wouldn't it be amazing? Like, can you imagine what that must have felt like to stand there trembling with the people, listening to this power of thunder and trumpeting and the fire, and Moses just speaking to it and God answering him through this? What a phenomena. What a phenomena to be able to witness. What a phenomena. So visit three, God went up the mountain a third time. And in this visit, God began to warn the people about consecrating themselves again, about keeping the mountain holy, that they weren't to ascend the mountain, that they if they actually came onto the mountain, they would die. They would die, their flocks would die. So it was the value that was being placed on the presence. God was establishing the value of his presence amongst his people, and actually that there was a reverence and an awe and a holiness that was created at that time for the Lord, not to climb the mountain. The commands were given. Then on the next visit, God came and he began to give out the law, the commands and the law. So on the last visit, God gave the commandments, the Ten Commandments that we know of so well, that actually a lot of our judicial system is written upon. A lot of our social and ethical laws are still governed by those Ten Commandments that were given way back in Moses' days in the desert, in the wilderness. Some of the things that God spoke about, the laws and things that he gave, he says, number one, do not make unto yourself any golden image, gold or silver, any images, any idols, any altars, except unto the Lord. He gave Moses the law, and some of the law contained things to do with property protection. No witchcraft, how to treat foreigners, lending. When you're lending to someone, don't charge interest. That actually, as people of God, we should lend to one another without expectation of interest back. Giving of the first of everything that you have, of your wealth, of your children, actually of giving the first of your child unto the Lord. Like, God, I'm dedicating my son unto you, my daughter unto you, holy unto the Lord. I give them to you as a gift, as a first fruit of our family. He gave them laws of justice, laws of mercy, and he began to establish the festivals, three festivals that were to be celebrated and undertaken in those days. He gave social law, things like no sex with animals, no sleeping unless you're going to marry someone. Like if you're going to, if the person is, you're going to marry, you don't sleep with them until you marry. Otherwise you defile them for someone else. So really when we look at today and the immorality today, there's so much defilement that's now passed as normal. It's normal now for people to just sleep around and defile one another for other people. You know, like we always taught our kids that your body is a gift for someone. Your body is a gift for someone, a marriage gift, a wedding present, and their body is a gift for you. And so the whole thing about a present is you don't open it until the appointed time. And I think the church has really missed out on bringing the truth of this into reality and teaching on it, that actually we shouldn't open the gift of our lives until the appointed time, that, and we should value ourselves and value what we, who we are, and what we give away to people so easily and so freely. But there are things the Lord says that we're to keep until the appointed time. From that point, the Lord says, I'm going to release an angel to go with you. It's a very quick overview. I'm getting to a point, right? It leads then to chapter 24, verse 9, is where the Lord calls again Moses to come up to the mountain with Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu. And 70 of the elders of Israel. It says you're to worship at a distance, but Moses alone is to approach the Lord. The others must not come near, and the people may not come with him. So then it says in verse 9, Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and the 70 elders went up and saw the God of Israel. Under his feet was something like a pavement made of lapis lazuli, as bright blue as the sky. But God did not raise his hand against these leaders of Israel. They saw God and they ate and they drank. And then from that point, they remained. God called Moses further up, right up into the cloud. And Moses sat there for 6 days. 6 days he sat in the presence, just him and the cloud of God's glory. And on the seventh day, God called him into the cloud. So he had to sit and wait. And sometimes I think we like to have things, answers from God like this, you know, well, God, you said this, or you're called me to this, and yet I'm not seeing it happen. And yet the Lord says there's a process. There's a process of waiting. There's a process of being still before me. There's a process of preparation to come into my presence. And even though he'd been in the presence of God all these times before, in the burning bush and all these times in previous times, yet this time the Lord still let him wait for 6 days of preparation before he took him into the presence. When he took him in, he was there for 40 days and 40 nights in the presence of the Lord. And during that time, during those 40 days, he received the instruction for the building of the tabernacle. He received such intricate details, right down to the buds that were going to be under the leaves on the lampstand and what they were to look like, what they were to be made of, everything from the poles, the measurements, the recipe for the oils, the anointing oils, the oil for the lamps, everything, this intricate details God gave to him in these 40 days. He gave instruction for the ark, the table, the lampstand, then the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering, the courtyard, the oil for the lampstand, the priestly garments, the ephod, the breastplate, the rules for consecrating the priests, the altar of incense, the atonement money that was paid in yearly, basin for washing, the anointing oils, the incense, the skilled workmen to oversee others. He even named the skilled workmen, those that would train up and oversee the work of the building of the tabernacle. And he gave them the Sabbath rules. He gave the Sabbath. So God in those 40 days, it's like every little trip up, God was preparing him to hear and to see so that he would have the ability to receive the intricate details for preparing a place where God was going to come again, once again, since the garden, once again, and dwell with man in presence. It was intricate. It was amazing, the detail. If you have never read Exodus and the details of the temple and the tabernacle, read them. Read them. It just blows you away. It really does. It's phenomenal. You're thinking, my goodness, he heard all those details. He heard those details. What would it be like to walk with the Lord in such a way that we hear such intricate details for people's lives around us, where God would speak so specifically? You know, we hear so many prophetic words that, I see this, but it might mean this. What would it be like to spend 40 days and 40 nights with the Lord just for one person or for one situation? What would God uncover for our nation, for America right now? What would God uncover to us in those 40 days that we would just, that would bring life to people around us and life to our nation and life to the nations of the world? So anyway, that was Moses. That's what he was getting up to up the mountain. Meanwhile, down on the ground, the people were getting upset that Moses hadn't come back. They were like, oh, has he died? Has God killed him? We haven't seen him for like, it was 46 days at that time. Like, what's going on? You know, we need to make a God of our own because the God that Moses believed in has taken him away. So what they did was they went to Aaron, who was left in charge. He was the priest in the making, and he was left in charge of the people to look after the people, keep them focused and keep them going in the right direction. And what did they do? He said to them, okay, if this is what you want, bring me all your ornaments, all your earrings and your jewelry. And he fashioned for them, he cut for them a golden calf for them to worship. And then in chapter 32 of Exodus, so the people said, come make us gods who will go before us. And as for this fellow Moses who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. We don't know where he is. Such grumbling and unbelief, eh? Chapter 32, Aaron answered them, take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, your daughters are wearing and bring them to me. Bring them to me. So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. And he took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. And then they said, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. And so in that period of 40 days, even though they'd experienced all they've experienced, in 40 days, they lost their faith and they established for themselves an idol made out of gold, not only made out of gold, but their gold. It was their own stuff that they made into an idol, their own stuff, the things that they had fashioned, then they fashioned into a god. So you see where they were. It's like, well, if he's not going to look after us, we're going to create a God of our own making from our own things that we can take with us and say, this is our God, which means really that they were the gods. They were the gods because it was their things that made their idol. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord. The next day, the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. And afterwards, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. So during which time, Moses sought the favor of the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, this is what's going on. And the Lord said, I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to wipe them out. I've had enough. I'm going to wipe them out. And Moses went on behalf of the people and he began to beseech the Lord and say, God, these are your people. You've made promises. these are your people. Please relent from your fierce anger and give us another chance. Let me see what I can do. So Moses went down the mountainside, came to the people, and he was so angry, he smashed the tablets that God had written out for him. And he took the calf, verse 20 of chapter 32, he took the calf the people had made and burned it in the fire. Then he ground it to powder, scattered it on the water, and made the Israelites drink it. Made the Israelites drink it. Then he said to Aaron, "What did these people do to you that you led them into such great sin?" "Do not be angry, my Lord," Aaron answered. "You know how prone these people are to evil." In other words, it's like, not my responsibility. You know these people are prone to evil. I mean, you know, you've had to deal with them. You know what they're like. "They said to me, 'Make us gods who will go before us.' As for this fellow Moses who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him. So I told them, 'Whoever has gold jewelry, take it off.' And they gave me the gold. I threw it in the fire, and it came out like this calf." It came out like this calf. So it's like, yeah, give me all your jewelry. I can't control you anymore, so give me all your jewelry. And I'm just going to throw it in the fire. And oh, whoopee-doo, out came a calf. Wow. You know, so there was no responsibility taken from Aaron for what he had done, you know. And because of his weakness and because of his inability to lead, the people continued to go deeper and deeper in their rebellion and in their sin. And what did Moses do? He powdered the thing down. He smelted it down in the pot, this idol. He smelted it down and then he ground it down into a powder and he made the people drink the result of their sin. He made them drink everything that represented their sin. He made them take responsibility for what they had done. So, but Aaron himself took no responsibility, yet God's mercy and God's grace established Aaron as a priest in the kingdom unto the generations to come. So then in chapter 32, verse 31, Moses again spoke with God and pleaded with God not to destroy the people of God. Not to destroy them. And God says, "I will not go with you, for you're a stiff-necked people. Because if I go with you, I'm going to get so angry, I'm just going to destroy you. I'm going to wipe you out." I remember sometimes, you know, my kids would wind me up so much or do something that made me so cross. I used to say to them, "Go to your room, because if I try to deal with you now, I may deal with you irrationally because I'm really angry." And I remember separating myself from my children for their own safety because I was so upset at what they'd done or what they'd said. And it was like, go away from me so that I can calm down and I can deal with you rationally, because I want to deal with you from a perspective of love and not a perspective of anger. And this is what God was doing. He says, "I'm not going with you, because if I see one more thing, I'm going to destroy this people, and that will be it. It will be done." But Moses petitioned him, and Moses kept on, "God, you said you would come with us." And in chapter 33, Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, 'Lead these people,' verse 12, but you have not let me know who you will send with me." You said, he reminded God of the promises. "You have said, 'I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you're pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people.'" Remember, God. Remember what you said, Lord. Remember what you said. And the Lord replied to him, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Moses said, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you're pleased with me and with your people unless you will go with us? What will distinguish me and your people from all other people on the face of the earth?" And then the Lord said, I'm going to, Moses said, show me your glory, show me your glory. And we know that story where the Lord took him up the mountain and he put him right into the cleft, right into this place in the rock. And he covered it with his hand. Just the hand of the Lord covered the rock. And God passed before him. And he saw the back of the Lord. And as he passed by, the Lord proclaimed his name. And Moses experienced his goodness and his mercy. But that verse in verse 16, it said, how will anyone know that you're pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all other people on the face of the earth? What is it that distinguishes you? What is it that distinguishes me from all the other peoples of the earth? What is it that distinguishes the Christian, born again, spirit-filled believers, the tongue-talking, Holy Ghost, prophesying, apostolic people? What is it that differentiates us, that sets us apart? What is it? It's the presence of God. If we do not have the presence of God, there's nothing any different about you or about me to anyone else in the world. What is it he's given us? He's given us his presence. For what? The display of signs, wonders, and miracles. Yeah? Signs, wonders, and miracles. That is the display of the presence of God. So for me, it's like, I remember way back when I became a Christian, this smelting pot, as I got saved in the Jesus movement, and this smelting pot, we jumped into that smelting pot voluntarily. We jumped into it full of joy. We jumped into God with this abandonment of, Lord, whatever you want to do, I'm going to follow you. Wherever you want to go, I'm going to follow you. Wherever you want to take me, I'm willing to go. And I voluntarily jumped into the smelting pot and said, God, whatever I need to lay down, I'm going to lay down so that I can carry you, so that I can know you. And I was full of joy. Jesus was everything to me. He was my morning, my noon, my nighttime. He was my reason to get up. He was my dreams in the night. That was Jesus to me. That was the era that we grew up in, where we had Jesus on our jeans. We had Jesus on our books. We had Jesus crosses all over us. You know, we proclaimed the name of Jesus everywhere. And wherever we went, Jesus was there. We were a people full of joy. We were a people that were full of boldness. We celebrated each other. You know, we surrendered. I surrendered totally to Jesus, abandoned to him with joy. Ended up in Bible college less than a year after I could get there. Honestly, I was like, feed me, teach me, show me whatever I need to do so that I can carry the presence of God, and I'll go wherever he wants me to go and do whatever. Because to me, this book was full of adventure, and I didn't want to be a boring old normal person. I wanted to be one that went off and did the pioneering stuff like the apostles and disciples. I wanted to be one that saw people healed and delivered and set free. I wanted to be one that knew the presence of Jesus, like Paul, you know, where he came like a blinding light, or the fire of God hit him like Daniel and he couldn't stand up. I wanted to be, that was me. Yeah. And today, all these years later, that's still me. That's still me. I still hunger and thirst and yearn for God, for Jesus. I long for him. I long for his presence. I long to see people set free. I long to sit with him and just be, and not even speak, but just to be and to feel him. I love it. I love it when I get encounters. But I love it just being, just putting on worship and just to be. I love it. And even today, I'll jump into that smelting pot and I'll still say, Jesus, whatever you want to remove from me, come and remove. Whatever you want to burn out of me, come and burn so that I can burn brighter for you. I want to be the Holy One. You know, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, present yourselves as what? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. your reasonable service. You can't even see now. I've got tears in my eyes. So what is it we present? We present our bodies. We present this. We present this and we say, God, I'm coming. I want to be a living sacrifice. I'm willing to go into the smelting pot. I'm willing to do it again and again and again. And I'm presenting myself, Lord, as a living sacrifice. To be a sacrifice, it costs you something. To be a sacrifice means you have to give everything. To be the sacrifice means that God is coming to make you holy and acceptable to the Father. Holy and acceptable to the Father. To go into the smelting pot means that you don't conform to the ways of the world, but you become transformed. In Proverbs 27, it said, as a man thinks in his mind, so he is. If you think that you're a failure, you will work out failure. If you think that you're just weak and not going anywhere, that's where you will go. If you think that you're not strong enough to overcome temptation, that's where you will go. But the Bible says, there is no temptation taken you, but such is as common to men. But God, come on, but God with the temptation will make a way of escape so that you can bear it. We're not free from temptation, guys. We're not free from struggle, but God will make a way so that you can be able to bear it, so that you can demonstrate his glory, so that you will be transformed more and more and more into the image of his Son, so that the fruit of the Spirit is being worked into your life more and more and more. I want to be a Jesus freak for the rest of my life. I want to carry him with joy. I want to be filled with him. I don't want to get there and say, I tried to do this with you, but I couldn't because you wouldn't let me bend you. You wouldn't let me bend you. I don't want to be the stiff-necked person. I want to be the humble person, the one that he loves. I want to be his friend. I want to be that one that walks with him and talks with him. You know, that's me. We are to be the sacrifice. We are to be the sacrifice unto him so that we can be transformed, not into a calf for people to look at, but into something beautiful that carries the fragrance of heaven, that brings heaven to earth for people. You know, this is what God is making you into. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 61, this is what God is forming you into. It says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to do what? To proclaim good news. Good news to the poor, good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, to release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of God's favor and the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes and the oil of joy instead of mourning. Come on. The oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair, and they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And they will rebuild ancient ruins, restore places devastated, renew ruined cities. Strangers will shepherd their flocks. And it goes right all the way down. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in robes of righteousness. You are called to be the planting of the Lord. You're called to be this glorious splendor that carries light into the darkness, that breaks chains off people, that brings captives. People that are captive are people that don't deserve to be held. And we're called to release them. We're called to bring prisoners out, those that do deserve to be held. We're called to bring out prisoners and heal them up and heal their broken hearts and establish them in the ways of God. But there's a process of refining. You know, when you put something in the smelting pot, God turns up the heat and he lets all the dross come to the top and he scrapes it away. And then he'll turn up the heat and he'll let the dross come to the top and he'll scrape it away. And each time God puts you through trial, each time you come through a testing time or a trial time or this COVID time, this is the refining of your heart before the Lord. And in these days, in those days of temptation, in those days of trial, God is turning up the heat and he's taking away the dross. And he is allowing the gold to be formed in your life. That gold of representing Jesus in these days. The end result of our reforming is transformation, to be transformed, reformed. I listen to this vaccine at the minute, and they're talking about trans this and trans that. Well, Jesus said, I'm going to transform you. I'm going to make you new into a new form. And this process from salvation to eternity is transformation. It's a transformation process of refining, being made into something new. So in Revelation 3, chapter 18, Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. He said in verse 17, or let's go to verse 15 actually. He says, I know your deeds, that you're neither cold or hot. I wish that you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, well, I'm rich. I've acquired wealth. I don't need anything. But you don't realize, actually, you're wretched and poor and pitiful and blind and naked. So God isn't looking at what we have on the outside. It's not that having your house and your wealth is wrong, but if it's your identity, if it's what defines you, it is wrong. It is wrong. And God says that in this lukewarm state, he will come. And if you don't come, he will actually, he says he's going to spit you out of his mouth because he doesn't like it. He doesn't like it. You do not realize you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you. I'm counseling you. I'm coming to you one-to-one right now. I'm speaking to you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, gold refined in the fire, so that you can become rich, so that you will have white clothes to wear and cover your shameful nakedness, to put salve in your eyes so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Be earnest, repent. I'm here. I'm standing at the door. I'm knocking. I'm knocking on your door. If you hear my voice, open the door and I will come in and I will eat with that person and they with me. And to the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his. Let him who have ears hear. And I feel that this is the day when the Lord is shaking everything that can be shaken. He's shaking everything. He's shaking the foundations of everything that we put faith in and we put trust in, so that the church arises again onto a new dawn of really holy giving themselves over to Jesus again, where we become this beautiful bride waiting in anticipation, walking with and following the bridegroom of our heart. It's time to be that Jesus people again. It's time to let that fire, that refining fire come and to burn away the things that don't represent him, the things that he cannot use, the things that hold us back. I want to be that wild, abandoned one that jumps into the smelting pot and go, I know this is going to hurt, but I'm willing, God. Come and do what you want to do. I want your presence. I want to be the one with clean hands and a pure heart that can ascend the mountain of the Lord. I want to be one that sits in his presence for as long as it takes to hear the details that he wants to release on the earth in these days. I want the counsel of God. I want the counsel of God. I want to be able to stand in his courts and hear his voice for me, for you, for the nations. I want to be the gold of God. I want to be his gold. I want to be his treasure. I want to be his treasure. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says we're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And in heavenly perspective, that is true. But for us, the Bible says we are being saved. There's a process of refining that's happening in your life and in my life. The outcome or the process of that can either be joyful or really difficult. It's your choice. His job is to present you holy and blameless. Our job is to surrender to the process. Our job is to surrender to the process. And I just want to challenge you today. Do you want to be a person that stands and fights and tries to hold on and do it your own way? Or do you want to be the one like that just loves Jesus, that jumps into that pot and say, God, I want to be wholly abandoned. I want to be a living sacrifice. I present myself to you today. I want to be holy and blameless before you. I want to be transformed. I want to have that power that sets captives free. I want to have that anointing. I want to know that I'm appointed to do it. I want to have that supernatural encounters, God, that release supernatural blessings and healings over others. So, Father, if that's you today, just close your eyes and, Lord, I just declare today, Lord, that we come to you, God, as a people that say, Lord, we want to ascend that mountain like Moses. We want to be people, God, that have your son Jesus on our heart morning, noon, and night. We want to be those people, God, that jump into your smelting pot and do it with abandoned joy and just say, oh, I know the outcome is going to be something shiny and beautiful and powerful and rich and worth more than the gold of the earth. So, Lord, we choose today again. We choose, God, to present ourselves as living sacrifices, to be made holy and acceptable unto you. We declare today that we are new creations, that the old is gone, the new has come. Come on. Jesus, come and teach us how to fall in love with you over and over again. Teach us to be filled with your joy. Fill us with your joy. Fill us with your fire. And let that fire purify us unto you, that we will be holy and acceptable, which is our reasonable service. In Jesus' name, amen.